It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're going to head out to Radio Row in about a half hour out in the Bay Area. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He's joined us each and every week throughout the football season. So, of course, he's going to join us the week of the Super Bowl.
One final time
this year. And we'll check in with him, set the scene a little bit. Last night, the Pro Bowl games, I guess, was a thing.
Wait.
That was a thing.
Did you guys watch any?
This
is not to be a joke or a jerk. Yeah. I didn't watch a single second, didn't see a single clip.
I forgot it was on, but then last night I went to hang out just for like an hour or two nearby with some friends, and they had it on there. And I was like, oh yeah. And it was halftime, and it was like 32 to something at halftime. And
I thought the games weren't a game. Is it?
It was I thought they got rid of the football game, I guess.
I thought they got rid of the game part of it, and it was just like event stuff.
So it was on in the background. I did forget it was a thing. It's not on Sundays anymore. It's now on a Tuesday night. I haven't seen the ratings yet. For it, we'll see how bad they are. My guess is they're not going to be great, and maybe they'll just finally realize what a waste of time it is. It was in a convention center. It was in this convention center. There must have only been a couple thousand fans even allowed in. I mean, it was not a big venue for it, so who knows? I can see if you have kids, like my nephews would have probably loved to watch the flag football game in person with all the athletes. That's who it's good for. But on TV, no interest.
Yeah.
So we'll ask Ross Tucker about the festivities in the Bay Area and, of course, talk Patriots and Seahawks. You guys can interact with us. 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Video stream will be up and running shortly on YouTube, Twitter, X, and Facebook. As always, you can subscribe there on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows. And a reminder, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour today, we kind of mentioned we were going to keep an eye on what was going on last night in Olathe and also in Wyandotte County. We have John Holt from Fox 4 joining us around 11:10 to give us the latest on what is going on, what went down in Olathe, and what is expected to happen tomorrow night in Wyandotte County as it relates to the stadium front. We can start there just a little bit, and then I want to get into what the NFLPA is already talking about for future dealings with the NFL. But if
Lying
you're wondering,
already.
Olathe last night, they went ahead and voted unanimously to approve the local sales tax that is going to be generated from the new Chiefs team headquarters and practice center that will then go towards the Kansas Star Bond. So they approved to divert some of the local money that will go towards that. Wyandotte County had a hearing last night, but they will vote tomorrow night on whether or not they will give some of their incremental, sales tax revenue back. Both are expected to happen. One already did. It did not end up being as, I guess,
dramatic
as everybody was making it seem like it was about to be. Like, everybody was building it up like it was, oh, man, it's going to get really heated. There was like 17 people, it sounds like, that spoke at the Olathe meeting. We'll ask John Holt, who has some more info on this coming up later.
Well, I think part of the reason we thought there was going to be more blowback on it is, I mean, if you, like, there has been some blowback, right? Like, as in, Kansas understands that this deal doesn't look as good as they would hope on paper, and certainly it looks like they gave the Chiefs the sweetheart deal of the century. So I think people thought there might be more of a public blowback in this forum setting than there was. But overall, it ended up being pretty anticlimactic. They just said, sure, deal done, and then just kind of rubber stamped and moved on about their day, which is fine. Obviously, Kansas already approved. It's not like you and I thought the whole deal was going to fall apart and they were going to tear it to shreds. We just thought there might be more, classic public hearing animosity, I guess, in this setting. And we'll see what takes place, obviously, tomorrow. On the wind-out end, it's expected to go as planned, but obviously just one step closer. And then, I don't know, I would bet in the next 2 weeks, we'll probably see a rendering for the stadium. And so we'll start getting a sense of kind of how that's shaping up, too. I'm hoping it doesn't look like the rendering that was put out by one of the two architecture firms left remaining at the time that they were like pitching that stuff at the start, because that one was kind of blasé. It was like fine.
But that one at the time, that had no ties to the Chiefs, though, so I'm sure the Chiefs have some suggestions on things they want in their mind that need to be included, right? Versus before, I think it was Manica or whatever, just did it on their own. That one that every article nationally that is used for the last month or two when the Chiefs stadium news came out, that one, I think people assume that that's like the rendering for the stadium, and that was never the Chiefs rendering. That was just the firm. You're right. It's one of the firms that is request RFP or whatever. But I'll be curious to see. You know, we joke about the renderings on this show all the time.
You love them.
I love
a good rendering.
Love a good
also,
rendering.
Also, this is like kind of like for renderings, to use a phrase appropriate for this week, it's the Super Bowl of renderings.
It is.
Stadium? That's the creme de la creme of,
yeah.
That's not just some like, ooh, they're doing a business district.
Nope.
They're opening a new restaurant rendering. That's not a 1587 dining room floor rendering. This is a stadium. That's like the peak, top of tops. You
stadium
know?
Renderings are the best kind of renderings, I must say.
In a ranking of renderings, they're number one for you?
Definitely.
Okay. I just didn't know. On the other end, the NFL, and I do think that this is of note, at least on where they are, the NFL players keep lying to themselves. And unless they're willing to take an actual fight, I understand why their NFLPA rep has to say this. But also, we don't believe you. Because you said the same thing about 17 games a few years ago. They were on record saying they have no interest, no desire, no thirst for an 18th game from the player side of things as it relates to the NFL schedule. And honestly, they shouldn't. The physical toll it takes on you and everything else. The problem is that whether you like it or not, 18 games is coming, and publicly, I understand from a negotiating point, Gold, you have to say that, but how can the players, for the first time ever, get something besides their equal share of the revenue split generated from the 18th game rather than what they have been, you know, versus what they have been getting just that? They don't get anything else. Negotiate. Get anything else besides an equal dollar amount, because I get it on paper. We get an equal share of the 18th game. You get an equal share. So players will get paid more. We'll get paid more. What's not to like? Everybody makes, you know, 50% of this thing. Well, I have to physically play the sport of football, so that's dangerous and shortens my career, my chance for earning, and all this other stuff. You gotta attach a price tag to that. And unless the players are going to get something tangible, which I don't think they will, them saying this publicly they don't want an 18th game is kind of hollow.
Yeah, that's kind of what you have to say right now, because you are trying to negotiate eventually to push back against that notion of the expanded NFL schedule. We all know, we've all been around this enough, and sports fans have been around these type of things enough, that if the NFL wants to get to 18 games, Cody, they're going to end up, we're going to be seeing 18 games. I mean, it is going to happen, because the NFLPA, out of the players' union, tends to be kind of the worst when it comes to this kind of stuff. And you're right. In the past, there was pushback initially for expansion of the schedule. And what did the NFLPA really get? You know, way back when, oh, big deal. They got them to stop worrying about suspending players for weed. That was like the big deal. Remember, that was like the NFL.
They didn't even care about weed then. They weren't even suspending people. It's down to fines.
The NFL has mastered the art of making it seem like they really care about an issue and getting the NFLPA to feel like they got a big win out of it, when it's like when the owners essentially were already planning on caving on said issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the players, we all know, okay, it's one thing the players at the very top of the players union that have already made tens of millions of dollars. Those guys, they could sit out games and be fine. They could force the issue and sit out a year and be fine. Majority of their membership can't, and that's why they are not going to ever be in a position where they're willing to miss games, which is ultimately the only way you would ever really be able to push back against the owners. I mean, that's just the reality, I think, of how their setup is right now, and it's been that way for a long time with the NFL and the NFLPA.
So this kind of goes like to the conversations the league's having around the Rooney Rule too right now, which is, if it's the 18th game, what should the NFL players be asking for, I guess? Right, Gold? Like, what is the reasonable return on getting an 18th game? Because they're not going to just cough up, hey, we want an equal, the same revenue share we have now for the 17 games, but we want 60% of game 18, right? I think I would consider asking for something like that, but I don't think they're actually going to get that in the long run. Can you get an additional revenue share of the first 10 years of the 18th game overall, right? Instead of the 50-50 split, can you get 51-49, 52-48? Because in the end, the amount of people being paid in the ownership amount, the additional amount of revenue they get, is far greater than each individual player is going to see. So like a real question I guess I would ask, and that's why I mentioned the Rooney Rule, because you're asking, I'm sure the NFL is asking that same question, which is, how do we fix it? Which is, what do you think? Is there something that stands out to you? What should the players be asking for in addition to the 18th game? Because that's always inevitably the problem. Right now, what they're getting in return is the cap keeps going up. Y'all make a lot more money. Congratulations. That's it. But you have to risk your physical health and everything else. Do you ask for a 16-game limit of the number of games every position can play except quarterback. Do players want that?
No, I think
players don't want that. Roster sizes, yeah, there we go.
I think roster sizes is the area that you could probably get them to cave on. If you're going to play an extra game, well, then we need an extra, let's just say it's four spots or six spots on the roster, which is more money, more opportunity for players. That's the kind of stuff that you ask for. But again, I think owners already are willing and recognize, hey, if we're going to ask for this, we're going to have to give in on that area. So nothing drastic is going to change in terms of what the PA is getting, in my opinion. I think we all know we're headed eventually, and maybe before the CBA is even up, the way it's trending, we'll see. We're headed to an 18-game schedule with, you know, we know Roger Goodell with the international markets and everything, the owners with the international markets, they want to have more and more games in those areas. And so it's going to, it's one of those things, like, we fast forward, I don't know if it's going to be 3 years from now or 6 years from now, Cody. They're going to be playing 18 games, and we're going to be seeing every team play two games overseas. The logistics part of it will be interesting, though, because how are they going to navigate the multiple bye weeks and the calendar of the NFL and all that?
I will say, I looked it up, and this is the obvious answer to those questions, which is a better split of the revenue. If you're going to play more games, you deserve more of the money. Right now, the labor split in the NBA is 49%. And between 49 and 51% going to the players. And at most recent, in 2024, the players' revenue share had been at 51%. In the NFL, they've been at 47%, with a maximum allowable under the current CBA up to possibly 48.5%. So they're 2.5% down from the NBA. Like, it's a pretty simple thing. We'd like more share of the revenue, please. You want us to play an 18th game? We want that. They also, what the NBA asked for and got in one of their labor agreements, lifetime health care. Like, that's the other thing I would ask for. We want health care for life. Not 10 years after we play, not 20 years after we play. If we vest after 5 years, you got to take care of our broken ass bodies for the rest of our lives. You got to supply a health care plan that we're allowed to enroll in and be a part in forever. One way or the other, you got to provide it for us. If you got those two things, I could see it. I also just think it's kind of tough because there's a million headlines, man, of them saying, we'll never do a 17th game. And I understand why it's a negotiation tactic. But the NFL, that's the problem with negotiation tactics is, if the other side doesn't believe you, it's not a tactic. The NFL, when they sit in their meetings, they're like, do we believe the NFLPA? No, they're full of it. They'll take the 18th game and they'll like it. You can say whatever you want publicly. Like, it's just, there's no, they don't take it serious, Cole. They don't care. So, like, you can say whatever you want publicly. If no one believes it, it's not like an actual negotiation tactic. That's all.
Well, the NFLPA has been dealing with their own mess, right? They've been dealing with their own mess with controversy and scandal inside their own organization at the same time. So they're kind of a
really
mess.
Poorly run for a while, and maybe still are, I guess, in fairness. So probably a pretty good time if you're the NFL owners, because they're not going to wait till 2030, right? By what year do you think we'll have 18 games? This is not an if.
By 2030. I mean, so to what, you know, in the next 2 to 3 years.
Start those negotiations now, and then by 2030 at some point they'll be there. Yeah, that's probably fair. Obviously, the Chiefs' best player is Patrick Mahomes, as we know. The Royals' best player is Bobby Wood Jr. And I was thinking about those two players as it relates. We spent a lot of time in the NFL talking about, because we talked about it with Drew's Bengals and Joe Burrow.
That was a big stage for Burrow last night. That was the biggest stage he's been on in a while. That was pretty big.
He was playing football in Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
So
anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
That's just an unnecessary shot at Drew's guy.
In fairness, the team actually outperformed the Chiefs this year. So I would,
they performed the same.
Let's call. No.
They didn't outperform anything. They had the same record.
Let's relax. One team has a higher pick than any other one when the quarterback was fully healthy. So the Chiefs stunk when the quarterback was healthy.
You took the bait. My bad. This is my fault,
Cody. Patrick Mahomes was fully healthy.
He took the bait. I'll take responsibility for that.
That is outperformed the team. It's the same record. Okay. That'd be like
one is a higher pick than any other one. Outperformed.
That's the saddest flex of all time, though.
And you wanted the Bengals to outperform him, too, and they did.
I did. Which is also sad behavior. But it's a sad flex to be like, my team's better than yours because we're picking 10th.
With Joe Flacco starting games for them and Jake Browning. How sad.
I was just trying to... They're equally bad.
All right, go ahead. Sorry. You can blame that on me.
Yeah, that is. We got sidetracked. But we talk a lot of times about NFL teams and their need to keep people happy. Kind of like how we talked about Cincinnati and keeping Joe Burrow happy, right? Like, you got to do things. You got to give people weapons. You don't want Patrick Mahomes to ever become unsettled in his environment. So they do a lot of things to make sure that he's a part of the process. Should we talk about Bobby Wood Jr. that same way? I thought originally when they signed him to that contract, they obviously had to make certain promises. in order to get him to do it. And one of those promises I think John Sherman made was, hey, man, I promise I'm going to invest in this team. But we've talked about the payroll, the big-time trades. Like, they haven't made some, like, huge swing moves to, like, woo or continue the favor of Bobby Wood Jr. They've essentially just been operating like a normal, small to mid-market ball club. They haven't done anything different operationally that makes you think they're doing things to keep Bobby Witt Jr. happy. So I guess other than pay, I guess Lugo.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Do we think, and maybe, and we can talk about that too. Do you think that they have to think more about that internally? And this idea of what is going to keep a guy like Bobby Wood Jr. here as long as possible?
So for starters, yes, I think very clearly Bobby Wood Jr. is one of those special athletes that you make commitments when you sign a contract to him that you're going to build, in their mind, right, a contending roster around him to where you can compete to win division titles, ultimately to win championships, right? That is something you have to commit to. And yeah, that's very similar to how we discussed Patrick Mahomes. And we also know it's important to keep everybody happy. You don't want to get sideways with any of those, especially in baseball, where in his contract, there are opt-outs, you know, 3-4 years from now or whatever it is. And at that point in time, like, even if things are going great, he probably will opt out because financially it's the right decision, even if he ends up wanting to stay in Kansas City.
If he
City.
Had an opt-out this year, it already financially sure. be the right decision. He's underpaid.
Absolutely. I'll push back on, I think you said that, you know, since they have signed him, what have they done to show that they are committing to what they said they were committing to doing? And you say you don't think they've really done much there. I'll push back on that. I think the extension for Mikel Garcia this offseason is another sign of them operating a little bit differently and making sure they keep the core together and keep a competitive team around Bobby Wood Jr. I think even the small scale, Vinny Pasquantino, you know, not going into a situation where you're dealing with arbitration. Seth Lugo not getting traded, but getting an extension. I think there's been multiple examples of them showing that they're trying to not only please him, but keep the roster competitive. Now, we can debate, and certainly this does not mean that they have just built this championship caliber roster. And oh my gosh, like, I think we have our issues. We've talked about how I would like them to have been more aggressive in the outfield market this offseason and all that. But I'll push back that, you know, they haven't done anything to continue to build around him since they signed the extension.
So, like, they've given people money, but they've had young players to pay, I guess. So, like, they haven't handed out some other than Bobby's deal. That's the one that's different. But also, we're talking about keeping Bobby different. They've signed players to $50 million deals before, I guess. And maybe it's a slightly higher percentage of, like, Mikel and others. But they're still just buying out arbitration years. The Lugo one's a good example.
They would not have made that Lugo trade. But like, or that Lugo signing.
Reagan's, Mikel, and Vinny Pasquantino, those are just, we don't want to go to a meeting deals, right? We can call those extensions, but those are protecting the team.
So are you saying you don't think they've done, look, there's two different conversations. Have they done enough to build a championship team? No, they haven't. Have they done enough, though, to satisfy what, basically,
to keeping Bobby Wood Jr. happy?
I will push back saying, if you're thinking they don't think they've done that.
I think at some point in a given year, they're going to have to make the swing that proves we're all in on making sure you're a champion in this city. And that is probably one of two ways. One, the big offseason signing that brings in talent, not Lane Thomas, and it's not a knock on him, but the big offseason signing, that had to be Bo Bichette or Kyle Tucker either. But like the bigger swing in the offseason that says we're serious about this, or the bigger swing at the trade deadline that says we're serious about this. They were stuck in no man's land last year, and what do? A bunch of little moves. Little baby moves just to kind of move about their day. What'd they do this offseason? When they're again a team that is like in contention, around contention, hovering near, and they made little baby moves. And look,
I would like them to have been more aggressive in the offseason as well. I mean, This is an AL Central right now that looks like it's right there for the taking, especially if something goes sideways with Skubal here during his arbitration hearing and the Detroit Tigers. So I'm not saying that I think
That's right?
Is it? Yeah. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have wanted them to do more in the outfield. I'm totally with you. I just push back on the notion that 2 years ago, whatever it was, when they signed Bobby Wood Jr. to the contract, that they haven't done things to be competitive and try to show that there's a commitment to him. That's where I push back. That's all. Should they be? Sure. Do I want them to spend more money and take advantage of the fact that the AL Central is kind of weak?
I'm not saying they've done nothing. For sure. I just don't think they've done enough. And like our scale of, and you and I seemingly agree, it's just we're at a different places of the scale of have done nothing versus have done everything. Maybe you're 60%, 70% on the scale of have done everything. And I'm like 40%. And I'm just saying it's something they have to think about when they make some of these moves. And it stinks to operate that way. But in baseball sometimes, especially because numbers are the name of the game. And you and I talked just last week about how their payroll number doesn't look any different than it did in 2016. So it's not like they've
Yeah.
And so that's always part of it. And look, I don't know. Like today it got reported that St. Louis, I don't know how much this impacts it. The St. Louis Cardinals deal is expected to, instead of be $60 million, which is pretty close to what the Royals was, in annual TV revenue, expected to be this year, $20 million. So the Royals would be expected to take a very similar hit. Between $30 and $40 million in lost revenue happened to the Royals overnight when they switched off of FanDuel Sports Network to controlled by Major League Baseball. So, like, there's a huge revenue shortfall that they were anticipating getting that they will know, and maybe they've been planning for this because that network's been falling apart for years, but, like, how much does that impact their bottom line? I mean, I imagine it does.
Sure.
I don't, like, and I would think significantly, I don't know, but, like, how much does that change how aggressive you could have been in the offseason versus the signings you made? And I like the signings they made in the offseason. I think they can be beneficial, but they're far more high-risk, high-reward. Yeah,
it's,
deals,
as we said, there's tons of questions still around all those players in the outfield. You know, you did not go and make a move to where, all right, that's somebody in the outfield, Cody, that I have zero questions about. That type of move, to this point, has not happened, and I don't know if it will. That's the difference. I incrementally, Isaac Collins, Lane Thomas, two really good signings, but there's questions with both of those players. Isaac Collins, very small sample size with what he did in Milwaukee last year, was a guy that finished towards the top in Rookie of the Year voting, but it's a small sample size. Lane Thomas, he was hurt all of last year, so there's question marks around him. They did not go make the signing where you felt like, all right, I don't even have to worry about that position in the outfield. That's what did not happen. Does it mean it can't work out? No, that doesn't mean that at all, but that's where I think it's more than fair to be critical of the outfield. Of everybody knows it was the
and they didn't try to solve it last year either, I guess, is my problem.
Yeah, and they made some moves to get better there, but they're just, to me, way too many what ifs that exist around that.
I will say I am fascinated. Do you guys understand, like, I have, because I'm a baseball nerd. Have you guys looked into the complexity of why the filing numbers are so different between Skubal and the Tigers, and why this is an interesting thing just from a baseball perspective? So the weird filing system in arbitration, I'll explain it briefly and why you should care, because it impacts every major league ball club. The reason why the Tigers filed at $19 million, because standard operating procedure for filing is you are a part of an arbitration class and you can file at a number comparative to your salary based on the class you're in. There's a weird little clause in the MLBPA's agreement with baseball that Scott Boras is trying to take advantage of that says if you are in your contract year, you can compare yourself to anybody, not the arbitration class. So if Tarek Skubal agrees with this, he says he can compare his number to Scherzer's and DeGrom's and any other pitcher in baseball, not just the people who are also asking for a raise.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have no issue with that. That to me seems like Scott Boras is doing his job.
Oh, hell yeah. No, I don't have a problem with it. But, like, I want Skubal to get paid because I think if he does, he's not a Tiger anymore. And I don't want him in the division. Also, I think players should get to earn money faster in baseball. I think their system of I get to hold your contract rights for 7 years is nuts. And a really unfair way of doing it compared to any other sport that you got to hold out to your 30 to get a payday. And I think it's part of what drives players away from teams is because they have to take the payday because it might be the only damn one, because the other team got to hold them hostage until they were 30 years old, not 27, not 26. They can't take a check that works for both parties when they're, because that might be their only paycheck. So I don't know. I'm just really fascinated to see which way it goes with Skubal today.
This time next year, he won't be on the team he won't be on the Tigers, no matter really what happens. It feels like in arbitration hearing, you know, whether he gets moved this year,
the last year for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be in this division much longer.
Hell, come trade deadline time, he might not be a Tiger. Who the hell knows?
All right, coming up next, we go out to Santa Clara for the Super Bowl in Radio Row. Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, will fill us in on what's going on out there, and of course, we'll talk about the matchup on Sunday with the Patriots and the Seahawks right here.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, just getting started on a Wednesday. Reminder, coming up around 11:10, we'll be joined by John Holt of Fox 4. We'll check in with him on the stadium conversation on the Chiefs side of things with the meeting that took place, both meetings, I should say, one in Wyandotte County, one in Olathe. One resulted in a vote last night, and the other will have a vote on Thursday. So that's something we'll dive into and get the latest from John Holt coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. And don't forget, we are less than a week away from our Chiefs offseason show, which will be next Tuesday. All right. So this coming Tuesday now, February 10th, when we'll have everybody in studio talking all things Chiefs. one of the rare times when we get everybody from the station all in one spot. So we'll have Bob, Dusty, CDOT, join Cody and myself from 9 a.m. to 11. Should be a lot of fun to get everybody's opinions together. And you know, like I said, it's just not something we do a lot often where we have everybody together. And I'm sure there will be some shots fired towards other people on the station as well while we mix in some Chiefs talk.
Yeah, I would think so. There's always a little bit of trash talk. Natural when you get us all together.
Yeah.
At the same time in the studio at the same time. I think we just can't help ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural instinct. Like I told you, we're going to do on this show, we're going to do 96.5 The Fan Superlatives.
Wow, we always joke.
We'll see how that goes.
The roast of 96.5 The Fan. It could get ugly.
Man, who would host that?
That's a great question. I don't know. We'll bring in Ross Tucker to host it, and then we'll just, you know, that's how it'll go. Could you imagine? It would be fun, but also people would have to, everybody would have to just understand that it's a joke. Yeah. Because it could get, I mean, as a listener, if you're a listener to the station, I bet you we would sell that event out pretty quickly.
Probably. I mean, because like the Okoye one takes place every year. So, I mean, it certainly happens in town.
All right, let's head out to the Bay Area, of course, site of Super Bowl 60, Radio Row. We'll start to probably heat up, I would imagine, on Wednesday, like a day like today. It's probably been a little quiet so far. And someone that is working everybody over on Radio Row right now is Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can check him out on your socials at Ross Tucker NFL, and he joins us each and every Wednesday throughout the football season. Radio Row, you're a vet at this point. You're also, I think, a well-experienced person to talk to when it comes to what the heck people should be doing 10 days from now, which is Valentine's Day.
Ooh, I like it. Let's start with it. It's called myfrontpagestory.com. It's by far the best Valentine's Day gift I've ever seen. I know for a fact 95% of the guys listening right now haven't even thought about Valentine's Day yet. Well, it's time. Engage, Maverick. Go to myfrontpagestory.com. You can talk to a writer on the phone for 10 minutes while you're driving to work or driving home, or you can just fill out a quick email. They write this unbelievable story about your significant other. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper, like the KC Star, framed, beautiful pictures of you and her. But here's the key. I'm telling you, make sure you do these two things. As she's opening it and has no idea what it is, say, I want to do something special for you this year, babe. So I had a story written about you. Like, that sounds so money. It's not even funny. And then make sure you tell the writer or put an email, I never thank her enough for all the little things she does for me. Because when you say that, when she reads that line, she will cry. She'll be, oh my gosh, she notices. She will cry. You will win. Myfrontpagestory.com. Myfrontpagestory.com. Have either one of you guys gotten any Valentine's Day gift yet for your significant other?
So wow. Alex is currently
single. I'm single, so I'm off the hook, Ross. I'm off the hook.
Alex, you're always single.
Well, that's a hell of a drop that's going to be used for a future promo.
Honestly,
thank you,
Ross. Keen observation, and we've discussed it on the show, but we have yet to come up with a solution for Alex.
Can I tell you something, Ross? We actually, and the boss is going to hate me for this one, we had a dating show planned. We were going to do an on-air dating show, and corporate lawyers completely ruined the whole thing. So,
what happened to it?
Corporate lawyers got in the way. They were worried Alex was, wasn't safe to be around.
You know, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
You know, it's tough when corporate tells you that, you know, versus just the rest of us.
But Cody, you're right about Cody.
Not purchased anything for Valentine's Day.
And our producer Drew's in the same boat. I mean, they got to figure something out here pretty quick. I think you gave him a good option as well. How's Radio Row so far? I don't know how many of these you've been on at this point in time, but usually Wednesdays where it starts to turn a little bit is, how's the Bay Area handling all this?
It's, I've probably been doing this for like 15 years, but it is hopping right now, man. I mean, hopping. It's been hopping the last couple of days. It feels like it's as busy as it's ever been, to be honest with you, which is interesting because it felt like it was totally dead, absolutely dead at opening night. It was by far the least amount of people I've ever seen at opening night.
Wow.
So it's weird how it's changed. I think it's because it was in Santa Clara. And I'm sorry, in San Jose, and not a lot of people wanted to do a shuttle for over an hour to go talk to these guys. So that's my guess. I don't really love opening night. I don't even know if I'm going to go anymore. it's just annoying to like have to push beat writers out of the way to ask a guy a question, you know?
No, it is hard.
I don't mind pushing people like you guys around a little bit. It's kind of fun, but
you're a bigger guy too, though, so you got an advantage here. I mean, that I don't know. You should thrive in that environment.
Yeah, I do, but it's like I get claustrophobic, and so what I do, I have no interest in like talking with these people that like going to the podium for, you know, to ask one question of Stephon Diggs.
Right.
What's that going to do for me? You know, I grab like assistant coaches that nobody else is talking to and have like a good 10-minute like real conversation that I can actually use on my podcast.
When you look at the rest of, like, I guess this week, Wednesday's when I start kicking into, like, game-related stuff. We're going to talk about it here in just a little bit, so I'm curious what you think, Ross. Where do you think the mismatches lie in this game? Because I'm actually surprised the Patriots are one of the few teams who might have some corners who can at least slow down JSN. We talk a little about the offensive line. Where do you think the problems are for either team in this game?
Well, I think let's start with it's been a struggle for the Patriots offensive line a little bit, and in particular, Will Campbell. Those guys have not played great. And so having to go against this Seahawks D line. Now, I will say on some level, the strength of the Seahawks D line, they are interior guys. I feel like, you know, Byron Murphy and Leonard Williams, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, Jaron Reed. So that's a little bit different. That's not the same as, you know, going against Will Campbell. But DeMarcus Lawrence against Will Campbell is not a great matchup for the Patriots, because Lawrence is a power rusher and Campbell has shown that he is susceptible to power. So my guess is that the Patriots will have a pretty good plan. I mean, they have had a good plan these last couple of weeks, because I think they recognize that things are not good with Will Campbell right now. I'll be curious to see if they just keep working with him in the offseason or if they move positions. That's a fascinating one. My guess is that they'll believe he can just get better.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He joins us here on 96.5 The Fan. Everybody is talking about the offensive line, defensive line. Everybody's mentioning JSN. Is there something that you feel like doesn't get enough attention here as we head into Sunday, whether it's a matchup, whether it's just a storyline that you find maybe more fascinating than what everybody's talking about right now?
Yeah, no. Well, two things. One is, and this is very, both of these things I would say are very relevant for you guys in KC. One of which is that it feels like there are four legit stellar coordinator play callers in this game. You know, McDaniels has done a masterful job. And maybe the craziest part is that Zach Kor in like week two or three was all of a sudden named the DC because of the prostate cancer for Terrell Williams. And for him to be this good in his first year as a D coordinator is super, super impressive. Then on the other side, you know, Mike McDonald, I think he's like the Sean McVay of the defensive side of the ball right now. I think he's fantastic. And then obviously Clint Kubiak's been fantastic. So I think you've got four elite play callers in this game, which we've noticed is important. And both teams, it just feels like they had the Midas touch this offseason. You know, I think like kind of like the Eagles last year, I think a lot of times the teams that get this far, it just seems like they have one of those offseasons where everything works. You know, you draft Gray Zabel, he's awesome. You draft Nick Emanwori, he's awesome. You bring in DeMarcus Lawrence, he plays great for Seattle. You know, for New England, even guys like Garrett Bradbury and Morgan Moses have played well. You know, they draft Will Campbell, and who for the most part held it down, and Jared Wilson and the safety. It's impressive how many of their moves paid off this year.
Are you surprised by how poorly Drake Mays played in the postseason, considering how well he played in the regular season? I mean, he's an MVP candidate, and he has been as careless with the ball as anyone. I mean, almost as careless as CJ Stroud during this postseason run. The fumble stuff, the interceptions, like, they are winning in spite of him in a lot of cases versus like Sam Darnold's case, who is maybe the single biggest reason they beat the Rams in the NFC title game. Are you surprised that Drake Mays played this poorly so far?
I'm surprised the Patriots are here with Drake May not playing better than he has. In fairness, they've gone against three of the top five defenses.
But that's also not going to change on Sunday, right? I mean, they're going to go up against another one of the top five defenses.
Correct. And the offensive line has struggled, but there's still no excuse for the turnovers that he's had, especially the fumbles, none whatsoever. And it's remarkable to me that they've actually gotten here with him doing that.
When you look at, like, I guess the way Patriots fans are, we were talking about this yesterday too, Ross, and you were talking about how New England fans are no good. I'm convinced that if Drake May lost this, they'll just turn on him like, oh, you don't know how to win? That they'll just be ready to turn on him at a moment's notice because he's not Tom.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I understand where you're coming from, but they know what the last 5 years were like without a legit quarterback. And so I think you're forgetting how powerful the religion of young franchise quarterback is. People love their young franchise quarterbacks. They're very defensive of them in any list or ranking or whatever. Honestly, I think for some people, they care more about it than they do their religion.
I guess from that, do you think Drake May's got staying power? Because over the last time, like, we did this with C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels, and there's still question marks with those guys now. So, like, 2 years is not going to decide the career of a quarterback. Do you feel like what Drake May does is going to last?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he led the NFL in completion percentage and yards per attempt. He has the mobility and a little bit of a, let's call it the it factor. And even, you know, with the turnovers, I mean, I think you got to give him a lot of credit for some of those throws he made against the Texans. Those guys made some terrific contested catches to help him with touchdowns. But still, it's pretty darn impressive what they were able to do with Drake May this year. I mean, I can't remember a team having that. Leading completion percentage and yards per attempt. It's wild.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Check him out on X or Instagram if you don't already, at Ross Tucker NFL. I know the headline, of course, is the Super Bowl on Sunday, but in Kansas City yesterday, you can imagine we were interested in the news out of New York where Matt Nagy's being hired as the team's offensive coordinator. What's your reaction to that? I think the narrative around Matt Nagy is fascinating to me because I feel like now we've gotten to the point where everybody just acts like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It's really bizarre how quickly the narrative is turned on him.
I don't understand that. I mean, he was a, you know, sought after guy when he was the OC the first time, gets the Bears head coaching job. Didn't they win like 12 games?
Yeah, they won
Mitch
the division.
Trubisky?
He went 12-4, 8-8, 8-8 his first 3 years, went to the playoffs twice.
Okay, and by the way, yeah, playoffs that next year with Trubisky, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, Trubisky's not the guy. We got to draft the guy to get Justin Fields. He wasn't able to have a great rookie year with Justin Fields. Guess what? Justin Fields isn't good. You know, we've now seen that with three other coaching staffs, you know? So I don't know. Let's see how Matt Nagy does with a good quarterback. If in fact that's what Jackson Dart is. I don't know. I'm talking to him today, so I'll let you know.
Oh, you're talking to Jackson Dart today, huh?
That's right. Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Don't miss it. Speaking of which, I gotta go on my, I gotta go talk to Will Gavin from the UK.
We'll let you run, Ross. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, hey, great to talk with you guys. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. That's Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Kind enough to join us. As you guys know, Radio Row gets very busy. He's booked up all day doing radio hits across the country, and it sounds like also across the continent as going up to, what do you say? Did he say Canada or the UK? I'm sorry. Did he say someone from Canada or the UK?
He said UK.
Okay, across the world. How about that? There you go.
Across the world.
Yeah.
You and I have appeared on radio in, like, what country do we do a spot together?
UK. UK.
No, but we did like Australia. Drew booked us with somebody like in Australia or Melbourne or like New Zealand or something, Drew.
All those places are represented on Radio Row.
Man, yeah. Ross called you out.
Yeah.
He comes on the show every week. We didn't have time. Shots.
He was on a time crunch because he's got another interview in 2 minutes or whatever it is, as he said. So we wanted to let him go. But I did. Normally, if we had a normal schedule, I wanted to dive deeper into what he had to say.
Alex, you're always single.
Damn. Thank you, Ross. I appreciate that. Oh, next man. Time we have him on, which is going to be a couple months from now, we'll follow back up with that. We'll follow back up.
That's tough, man. That's tough, him calling you
we
out
did have dinner with Ross Tucker once in Kansas City with a group of us, and that at that point in time, there was some, was he the one that helped? We got the number of some bartender or waiter at waitress at the barbecue.
Oh,
place
yeah,
we
yeah.
This is like 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I forgot about that. Definitely got away.
Because Tony Boselli was there right before he got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, like the day before he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think it was like the next day we found out.
But
and then
we like having Ross on.
We do. I don't know why he's going to call you out like that, though.
He should call you both out. You haven't figured out your Valentine's Day plans. You guys
Valentine's
are both married.
Valentine's Day is not a big deal in the Tap household. Drew might have. He said they go out to dinner.
Hold on. I have figured out Valentine's Day.
You already know where you're going?
Yeah.
Oh, he did tell us last week. Are you doing the Dave and Buster's thing?
The dinner plan is a no, but in terms of is a not yet. But the gift, the gift for Valentine's Day is already figured out and planned. The dinner thing can, I'll figure that out here in the next couple.
The
days.
Gift.
So you got a gift already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cody, do you have a gift?
No. But again, I doubt she has a gift for me right now either. Hmm. Valentine's Day is at the of all the holidays we celebrate together. Anniversary, birthdays, Christmas, whatever.
Well, we know what happened around Mother's Day for you.
Mother's Day. So. That's one time. Bottom rung. Mm-hmm. It's bottom rung. It's at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's never a bad thing to get a present as far as I'm concerned. So I think that's why I...
We'll get something.
Have to get anything. It's totally fine in terms of a gift. I don't need anything.
Someone says, whoa, Gold got a waitress's number?
This was 3 years ago. Yeah. This is an old story.
Didn't work out.
It's an old story.
Did you even go on a date?
No. No, we did not. So I think she felt pressured by everybody at our table.
Oh, it was awkward. Yeah. I did not pressure her, in fairness. I'd like that on the record. Carrington did, and Ross did, and some other people did, but I was maybe Bob even. I was off the hook. I'm just quietly
I will say
sitting
you
to
did
myself.
Not you did not in, get involved in that situation.
We've been on the show this entire time. I have never really tried to
it is true, though,
force you into a dating situation.
It is true. We were working with Carrington, and we were going to do a dating show on the station. It was very close to happening. And frankly, lawyers got involved and ruined it.
I mean, that's not even you're not even editorializing.
No, that's legit what happened.
A dating show was going to take place. Yeah. We were going to talk about it on this show. It was to have taken place on Carrington's show. We thought it would be a fun chance for Alex to meet some, different women, maybe that he hasn't considered dating before. And it didn't work out.
Someone says, I'm convinced Gold has no game. I'll just say that now that if you're gonna fire shots like that, I'll just say literally this is a weekly basis now, guys. I get messages from people trying to set me up on dates with other people on a weekly basis. This is not even me BSing anybody. So that's not, trust me, that's the issue is not getting dates or anything like that. I'm very picky, as we've discussed. I mean, I literally have an unread message from a listener saying, hey, I met someone at a bar. Here's her number. With no photo, no context. I'm supposed to react to that?
That'd be a wild date to go on.
Then somebody else,
that'd be the most dangerous date of all time to go on.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So that's not a problem. I can absolutely get dates and things like that. We'll move on after that. Yeah.
We'll talk more about the game and some of the mismatches that exist coming up at 11 o'clock. And like you mentioned, John Holt will join us at about 11:10, 11:15 as well. I did miss something a week ago that I do think is of note for the upcoming baseball season that somebody had pointed out on the text line yesterday. I can't remember your number or to give you credit for it. I was like, wait, they did? And then I looked it up and they did. For the 2026 season, Major League Baseball set an August 3rd trade deadline, which is later than it's ever been. It had been the final Thursday in July, which meant late July, mid-July. It had been a couple of different spots. August 3rd, that's a full week later than it traditionally is. And we talk about a league that is already super competitive now because there are 14 playoffs. Half the team makes the playoffs, which meant, do you remember the AL standings last year on August 1st? They were a disaster. Like 11 of the teams legitimately within four spots of a playoff spot. I think this has a massive impact again. Versus the NBA, baseball might be actively trying to kill its trade deadline because as late as it is and as many teams are in it, who's selling? Everybody can convince themselves I'm the team who's going to get hot for the final 60 days.
So in general, I'm with you, but don't you think now that if it's going to be a little bit later, doesn't that actually make it a little more likely that there's some clarity, Cody? If you bump it back a week, isn't there more clarity of who's not in it? I'm with you that in general, with the nature of the extra wild card spot, what it is actually done for the sport, everybody thinks they're in it, which is actually good for the markets.
If you want your team to compete.
But if you're saying that, hey, it's led to less trades, wouldn't it, being later this year, wouldn't that actually help Why would that help?
I mean, aren't
because
these,
you know you're gonna, further out. Like as the season goes, you know, okay, there is even less games for me to make up any ground.
In a weird way, I feel like having it earlier would help. And maybe this is just obviously I have no way to prove this one way or the other. Neither does Major League Baseball, unless they just operated this later trade deadline. If it were earlier in the season, Gold, I think people could look at themselves and be like, I don't know, man. We're six games out of it, and while there's a lot of baseball left, we don't love the way we look. If you get to August 1st, August 2nd, and you're still three games out of it, all you got to do, Gold, is talk yourself into, I mean, we could get hot. It's 50 games. There's only 50 games left to play, and we're in it. We're still actively in it.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we just, versus if you're four games back in July 15th, you could say, yeah, we're four games back, but man, this ain't the crew. Like, you're in it, Gold, but you still got to get through another 70 games. Like, saying you're in it with 70 games to play doesn't mean as much to me as you're in it with 50 games to play. It might be, you might be right. I'm not even saying that your argument of this will convince more teams to sell, they'll have a better idea of who they are by that time. That might be true, but I think I could make an equal argument that the less games to play, the fact you are in it, is like, I mean, I only got to get deadline, through 50 games and stay in it.
If the deadline was June 30th, if it was June 30th, that's worse than August 3rd, in my opinion. June 30th, at that point in time, it's so early, teams can say, oh, we got 70 games, you know, we got 80 games still to go. Like, so we're not out of it. You're saying that, like, teams won't commit because they don't know if they're in or out. I would argue on the flip side, August 3rd, if I'm a team that it, with, you know, 50, let's call it 50 games to go, and I'm 10 spots or 40 games to go, I'm 10 spots out. I know that I should not be aggressive.
But if you're 10 spots out on July 15th, you're going to trade too, right?
I mean, my argument is like, you're not 10 spots out yet on July 15th, but you might be by August 3rd. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I'm just like, if we pulled up the like August 3rd, I don't know if I can pull it up. Can I pull up the August 3rd standings MLB? 2025? Like, is that a thing I can search?
I'm sure there's a way. Yes. I'm sure there's a way to find that scenario. Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to, is that like a thing you can look? I'm sure it is a thing, like we said, you could look up, but it's also just like, on August 3rd, I'm looking at it right now. On August 3rd, who was out of it? Here's the American League. The only teams who were for sure out of it. All right, so the first six teams are all in it, right? Those are the seven teams are in it. They're in the spot. The Rangers were in the last playoff spot as of August 3rd, seven games back. The Cleveland was a game back of that. Royals were a game and a half back of that. Two and a half games back were the Rays. Three games back were the Angels. Four and a half games back were the Twins. Six and a half games back was Baltimore. I can make an argument that the only team who said we're out, maybe at that point, was Baltimore.
Yeah.
Six and a half games back in middle of July, maybe you're not out. Six and a half games August 3rd, you probably are out. But, I mean, it might have been a swing of one team. I mean, the Twins knew they were out. They were already selling. They were 52 and 59. So, like, they weren't really in it. But they weren't in it in July either. So I don't know if it makes a difference or not. Part of me thinks it'll slow the trade deadline down. It also might, like, keep teams, and this is the other part of it, Gold, it might keep teams from buying later and should hypothetically reduce the cost. The later I trade for the player, the less you should be asking for in return. If they're a rental player, Gold, and I only get 45 games of them versus 70 games if I'd made it July 15th, it might lower the prospect ask, which could increase. I would say if it does, it wouldn't go the other way. Could increase the amount of trades just knowing that maybe you have to give up less.
So yeah, this is probably a good way to put it. Someone says, the quantity maybe doesn't change, but you know, you're renting a player for even less games. You know, you're losing out on another 2 or 3 weeks or more of that player on a rental. So you're renting a player for even less time.
Uh-huh. So you should ask for less. So maybe that increases it because teams are more willing to part with players that they're like, well, the ask is less, so sure. You can have that A-ball guy we don't know anything about because I'm only getting 45 games of Lane Thomas. Mm-hmm. He was just a trade guy a couple years ago and why I bring it up. So, yeah, we'll see. Trade deadline moved back, a full week, which I think is interesting.
Up next, we'll dive into something we asked Ross Tucker about, which is some of the mismatches perhaps that we're going to see on Sunday in Super Bowl 60. And we'll check in on what went down in Olathe last night for the Chiefs Stadium, what could happen tomorrow night with a vote in Wyandotte County. John Holt of Fox 4 joins us right here on Cody and Gold.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.